23. Limbo.
Yeltus undergo a hibernation period in the warmer months, so the best time to begin your search is around late spring or early summer. And be wary of a Yeltus who awakens early from his hibernation.
From Kolvinar Bryum's Bestiary for Conjurers, page 108. Amandal pursed his lips and eyed his hands. The utter lack of conjuration magic shouldn't have surprised him, but it did. "So we really are in Tardalim," he thought. "Are you okay?" Ildin asked. Setting his jaw, Amandal turned to his friend. "Cast a spell. Anything." Ildin ran a hand through his blonde hair, then, after a moment, he uttered an illusory incantation. White light coalesced in front of him, becoming a hawk. "Well, that worked," he said. "Why didn't your portal open?" "I don't know." Sighing, Amandal stepped away from the hole. "Something about this place prevents conjuration magic from working, but not other magics." "Strange," Ildin murmured. The two of them stood on the top step of the shallow but wide staircase. "My resources are limited," Amandal thought. He had only the conjurations he had brought with him. He would have to be careful. He couldn't sacrifice any of them, as he had in the battle with the Yeltus. "I have a bad feeling about this," Ildin said. Amandal nodded and stared at the enormous double doors across the chamber. Only some of the symbols on the door were glowing. "What is it with these enormous doors?" Amandal wondered. "Why would the Ishari, or whoever built this place, need such colossal doors?"
"Conjurer!"
Drawn from his reverie, Amandal turned to the long-bearded Captain Edara and his first mate, who walked up the steps and stopped an arm's length away from Amandal.
"Thank you," the captain said. "I appreciate your aid back there."
He gestured to the hole from which they'd emerged after escaping the flooding chamber. "Of course," Amandal bowed his head respectfully. "But why weren't you swimming?" Captain Edara stared at Amandal with stony eyes. The first mate was equally unresponsive. "What's their problem?"
"I just wanted to thank you," Captain Edara said, then turned around. He and his first mate descended the steps, mingling with the other sailors.
"Well then," Ildin said, "that's the most awkward show of gratitude I've ever seen." Amandal grunted.
"No kidding."
"Come on." Ildin rested a hand on Amandal's shoulder. "Why don't we see if you can join my squad?" Felinia spun, searching for Amandal. "Where are—" Amandal was still at the hole, talking with Ildin. Captain Edara and his first mate Cluvis were descending the stairs.
"Undoubtedly thanking Amandal."
Despite what Felinia had assumed, Edara looked rather perturbed, probably still upset about his ship. Edara and his crew had been rather distant the entire trek across the wasteland, which wasn't surprising, she supposed. Turning back around, Felinia picked her way through the crowded chamber. She searched among the squads and found every one of her friends.
"I'm glad they made it," she thought, sighing in relief.
Had everyone managed to escape the flood? She continued toward squads 1 and 2, who were gathered near the doors. Commander Calamir stood beside Vaem, who was kneeling on the floor. The Mindalarnian scholar was looking at something on the ground.
"And how long will this take?"
Calamir asked, his lips compressed into a thin line.
"Patience," Vaem said beneath her breath.
Now that she was closer, Felinia could see what Vaem was doing. The Mindalarnian scholar was touching several strange symbols atop a shallow dome. Each of the symbols was arranged in a 7-tiered diagram, the likes of which Felinia had never seen.
"Is that some kind of ancient language?"
"Mr. Sora!"
Felinia looked up and quickened her pace to Commander Calamir.
"Yes, Commander,"
she asked.
"You did well out there,"
Calamir said, pointing across the hall.
"I'm impressed. If only every other mage were like you."
Was that a jab at Amandal? A twinge of anger forced Valinia's lips to purse, but she shook aside the emotion. "What have you done to me, Amandal?" she wondered, struggling to regain her composure. "I'm not the only one who was helpful, sir." Calamir set his jaw, then glanced across the hallway.
"Just because Mr. Aremian helped ferry supplies doesn't negate the fact that he disobeyed my orders on 2 counts. I will not tolerate disobedience in my ranks, and especially not in my personal squad."
Valinia nodded once. Best to put the matter aside, she thought. How many made it?
Everyone, the commander said, thanks to you and the other illusionists. If we had lost any more...
He trailed off, then turned to Dardel.
Check in with the squad leaders. I want a report of what was found.
Yes, sir.
Dardel saluted the commander, then hurriedly moved to the nearest squad.
What are we doing now, commander? Valinia asked.
Waiting for Mistress Rudal to open these doors, he said, gesturing over his shoulder. She claims there are Tevisrals beyond it.
Valinia turned to Vaim. The woman was muttering in a language Valinia didn't understand. A sheet of parchment was unrolled beside her, lying on the floor next to Keitel's boot. There was a diagram written on the parchment, a diagram that looked similar to the symbols on the shallow dome. Intrigued, Valinia studied Vaim. Did the Mindalarnian scholar know that those crystal halls were not Tardalim?
So what do you think? Ildin asked Nedra, the leader of the illusionist's squad.
Nedra, a not-so-attractive woman, frowned. Amandal would never have betted her. She eyed Amandal up and down as if eyeing a garbage heap.
I don't like him, Nedra said, so no.
She turned away and resumed talking to the other soldiers of her squad.
That figures, Amandal thought.
Ildin sighed, slouching in defeat, but quickly scanned the enormous hall.
It's fine, Amandal said. I can practically be a squad all on my own. After all, I have more than enough conjurations.
The illusionist gave him an exasperated look.
You can't be alone, Amandal.
Why not? Amandal asked, but the illusionist didn't answer. Ildin turned around, searching the crowded chamber.
Maybe we can try Jacob's squad, the illusionist said, picking his way around his squad mates.
You don't need these fools,
that voice said.
Besides, they don't know what they're doing.
And you do? Amandal thought with derision, glancing to the ceiling. A faint chuckle, as if carried on the wind, wrapped around him. I better not be losing my mind, he thought, following Ildin to Jacob's squad. Jacob and 4 other men were huddled against the wall to the left of the towering double doors. The men looked more like mercenaries than soldiers. Each held a single hand of cards. Playing Sharzen at a time like this? He shook his head as raucous laughter erupted from the group, coming from Jacob. The necromancer had undoubtedly won.
Who's in for another round? Jacob asked, smiling.
2 of the men nodded.
Not me,
said one of them, his armor rattling as he stood. He was nearly as tall as Amandal, but brawnier. He also had a more refined demeanor than the others of the squad.
It sounds like Dardell's collecting reports, so I'll sit out this round.
He picked his way past Jacob and the others, heading toward the doors.
Excuse me, Ildin called to the brawny soldier. Are you the squad leader?
The man turned, eyeing Ildin.
I am. Maradin is my name.
He glanced to Amandal, then back to Ildin.
What do you want?
Are you willing to take him?
Ildin thumbed back to Amandal.
Sure, Maradin said. I'll gladly take an Aramean conjurer.
With a wave of his hand, Maradin turned and hurriedly picked his way across the hall.
That was easy, Ildin said, turning to Amandal.
At least someone appreciates my talents.
Ildin gave Amandal a weak smile.
Amandal,
Jacob called, waving excitedly.
Ildin, come play. Cocking his head, Amandal turned toward Ildin. Are you in for a game?
Maybe, Ildin said. I want to get my pack, though.
The illusionist stepped around Amandal, moving back through the cramped chamber.
Are you coming? Jacob hollered.
Soon after Amandal joined the game of Sharzen, Felinia arrived. She told Amandal that the old soldier wanted her to try to pry the Rogalin from him. Of course, Felinia did not intend to obey the order. She was indignant about Calamir and his attitude toward Amandal. She was also to relay his banishment to the back of the expedition.
Banishment, huh? Amandal mused. Well, at least he would be away from Vayim.
Are you going to stay back here? Amandal asked Felinia, taking his new hand of cards from one of the hired mercenaries of Squad 24. Felinia sighed, then glanced back to the doors.
I probably shouldn't, she said, her gaze wandering from his eyes to his lips. Looks like she's ready for a kiss, he thought, holding back a smile. If anything good were to come out of this expedition, it would be this change in Felinia. The most beautiful woman of the expedition bit her lower lip, then turned away, glancing across the crowded hallway. Best act now. Amandal quickly stood.
Felinia,
he said, reaching out and brushing her arm. She spun at his touch, but as Amandal leaned forward to kiss her, a blinding flash filled the room. Startled, he lost his balance and fell into her. He thrust out his hand as she fell away from him, but he grasped only air. The light faded, and Amandal found her on Squad 24's soaked packs. He extended his hand to help her up, but Felinia got to her feet unaided. A commotion of speculation filled the chamber, a roar of questions concerning what lay beyond the doors. Felinia immediately spun, looking toward the doorway. There goes that moment. The noises of perplexity continued to fill the chamber, and Amandal looked toward the doors. Neither of the white stone slabs were present, and what lay beyond was a hallway that seemed to stretch on forever.
Just like those in my dreams.
Whoa, Jacob said with a gasp. Won't you look at that?
I thought there was supposed to be a vault, a mercenary said. Not another hallway.
Felinia turned back to face Amandal, looking concerned.
Is that accurate?
Amandal nodded. Calamir called an order for the squads to assemble. The murmur of questions and perplexity ceased and was replaced by rattling armor, sloshing packs, and hefting grunts.
I'd better go, Felinia said.
She bit her lip once again, shyly eyeing his lips.
Wait,
Amandal said. He was not going to pass up this opportunity. Focused on Felinia's eyes, Amandal slid a hand around her waist. He pulled her close, causing her to lean back. Felinia's eyelashes fluttered as Amandal wrapped his other hand behind her shoulder and pulled her closer. Her breathing quickened as he touched his lips to hers. She returned the embrace, running her fingers through his hair. Their kiss drew rowdy cheers and crass remarks. Amandal ignored them, focusing entirely on Felinia. After a long moment, Felinia pulled her lips away, but kept her forehead against his. Her fingers were still tangled in his hair.
Is that supposed to convince me to stay?
She asked, her voice like velvet. Amandal grinned.
It's supposed to tell you how I feel.
Felinia's eyes widened, and she parted her lips with a soft O.
If only we weren't in these godforsaken halls, he thought.
Felinia pressed herself once more against Amandal and rested her cheek against his.
Come to my tent tonight, she whispered, then stepped back.
Amandal simply smiled at her, letting her slide from his arms. He straightened, watching Felinia pick her way around the other squads.
So, she's your only interest, right?
Jacob asked. With his eyes still on Felinia, Amandal nodded.
I'm leaving the rest for you, Jacob. Soon after, the expedition was ready to proceed. Calamir called out the order to march, and the squads moved out one after another. Ildin and Fendar retained control over the earthen giants they had enthralled, keeping the lumbering behemoths beside their squads.
"Come on, men,"
Mirrodin called, stepping behind those of Squad 23. "Time to move."
"Can we just hitch a ride?"
Jacob asked, pointing to Amundal's earthen giants. Several of the mercenaries gave the necromancer a hard time, while Mirrodin shook his head, then waved them forward. Amundal was among the first of Squad 24 to follow Mirrodin, who was the only soldier in the squad. Amundal and Mirrodin walked side by side, passing Idara and his crew. The sailors were still sitting in the same place where Amundal had first seen them. Were they going to follow, or just sit there?
"I don't care what the commander thinks," Mirrodin said, glancing to Amundal. "I'll gladly have you in my squad."
Amundal smiled. "I appreciate that. Your group seems a lot more relaxed." Mirrodin chuckled.
"Of course. We're mercenaries."
"I thought you were a soldier," Amundal said.
"Once I was," Mirrodin sighed. "But that was a long time ago."
Amundal raised an eyebrow as he studied Mirrodin. The man didn't look more than 30. Perhaps he looked young for his age.
"You know," Mirrodin said, "I heard stories about your family."
"Rumors, no doubt," Amundal said. "Far-fetched tales." Mirrodin shook his head.
"Your uncle is not one to exaggerate."
Amundal started. "You know my uncle?"
"I've embarked on several adventures with Cruden," Mirrodin said. "I had thought he would be joining us here, but he and those thieves of his already had something else lined up. They're exploring some ruins on the Caladorn frontier."
"Several adventures, huh?" Amundal asked, intrigued.
"That's right," Mirrodin said. "I much prefer adventuring over war. Of course, it can be just as deadly, but at least you're not constantly pitted against men who want to ram a blade through your gut."
"I suppose that's one way to look at it."
The hallway beyond the massive doors was exactly like those in Amundal's dreams, though the floor was not quite as bowed. In fact, Amundal couldn't tell if there was a curve to the floor at all. More ornate stonework lined the hall's edges, and Amundal thought he saw strange symbols etched within the designs, like those in the gatehouse. Pillars lined the walls on both sides of the hall, spaced about 200 finials apart. Like those in the other chamber, each was lined with glowing spheres. Amundal expected to find oval doors, like the one through which the cistern had emerged in his dream, but none were present. All in all, the hallway was quite boring. The mercenaries of Squad 24 rowdily conversed as the expedition pressed forward. Jacob had suggested more games of Sharzen. The men laughed him to scorn until Jacob suggested they have one of Amundal's conjurations carry them while they played.
"I don't see why it won't work," Jacob reasoned. "If Amundal puts the hands of that big creature together, then five or six of us can sit in its palms."
Tavarn, one of the mercenaries, laughed and shook his head.
"You think Calamir won't yell at us for that?"
Jacob shrugged.
"Does it really matter?"
As they continued debating the gambling proposition, Calamir called for a halt. Amundal strained to hear him, but couldn't quite make out what he was saying.
"Will you five shut up?" Mirrodin barked. "We can't hear."
Amundal craned his neck, attempting to peer above those ahead of him, but he couldn't quite see around the elemental giants Ildin and Fendar had enthralled. He glanced to his gosset, who was perched upon the shoulder of the nearest Yeltis. "Go," he commanded, and the gosset soared through the hall. While the bird flew to the expedition's head, Captain Idara and his first mate joined Amundal from behind.
"What's going on?"
asked the sea captain.
"No idea," Mirrodin said. "I couldn't hear above those idiots."
He jerked his thumb toward Jacob and the mercenaries. The captain chuckled and folded his arms. Amandal, however, closed his eyes and focused his vision through the conjured gosset. The birds swooped around Fendar's enthralled elementals, soaring to the expedition's head. Calamir and the others were stopped not far from an opening in the left wall that led to a squared landing in the base of an ascending stairwell paralleling the hallway. The side of the stairwell nearest the expedition was exposed with an intricately crafted stone railing that was 4 times taller than it should have been. Odd, Amandal thought. Both landing and stairwell were just as wide as the hall the expedition had traversed. One of Felinia's illusions zipped to the staircase and swiftly ascended. Follow her, Amandal commanded, and the gosset flew into the stairwell. Looks like we found some stairs, he told Maraudin and Idara. Going where? Idara asked. Up, Amandal said. From what he could tell, the stairs ascended 8 stories, twice the height of the hallway where they stood. The walls of the stairwell were adorned with exquisitely chiseled white stone bearing curved designs that ended in sharp points similar to those in the crystallized walls of the gatehouse. Felinia's illusion slowed as it neared the top step. Amandel's gosset circled her, evoking a smile from the illusion. Conjuration and illusion crossed a landing and entered a hallway nearly identical to the one where the expedition waited. This new hall's only difference was the odd oval doorways. They were like those in Amandal's dream, though not as large. But each doorway was blocked by white stone. Why are they barred? Amandal wondered. He guided the bird to rest on a normal-sized railing on the 2nd floor running the length of the stairwell. What's going on? Maraudin asked. Felinia is scouting, Amandal said, focusing his hearing through his conjuration's ears. Calamir's voice carried up the stairwell, as did Bayam's. We need to go up, Bayam insisted, and we need to hurry.
I don't suppose you'll tell us why, the old soldier demanded.
Bayam sighed with exasperation.
Just order everyone to follow me.
2 sets of footsteps carried up the stairwell, and Amandal turned his gosset's head. Kaidal and Bayam marched up the stairs, the scholar's face wearing a scowl.
Do you think it wise we move ahead?
Kaidal whispered, her tone wary.
We have time, Bayam muttered. After all, we're only on the 1st floor. I doubt they will attack any time soon, if there are any left.
They? Bayam continued talking, but cut herself short upon noticing Amandal's gosset. A sultry grin formed upon Bayam's lips, and she waggled her finger at the bird. The Mandalorians ascended the rest of the steps in silence, then waited on the landing.
So, Bayam did know about these halls, he thought. Had entering them always been the true purpose of this expedition? But why wouldn't she mention it? And who was this hostile group she alluded to?
As Amandal pondered, Calamir ordered the expedition up the stairs.
Amandal!
Jacob called.
Hey, Amandal!
Opening his eyes, he turned to the necromancer.
What?
Weren't you listening?
Not to you, he thought.
Lower your conjuration's hands, Jacob said. We're gonna play some Sharzen.
Maraudin sighed and shook his head in resignation. Amandal sent the command to the earthen giant, and the conjuration obeyed. Jacob, 3 of the mercenaries, and 2 of the sailors climbed upon the earthen hands. They made themselves comfortable as the conjuration raised its palms to its chest. Soon, Amandal and the rest of Squad 24 were moving toward the stairs. The conjured gosset was still on the railing, watching the expedition file onto the 2nd floor. Belinia had since sent her illusions zipping down either end of the 2nd-story hall.
That side has a dead end,
she said, pointing in the direction of Tardalim's entrance.
So we go that way,
Calamir said, nodding in the direction they'd been headed on the first floor. Before Squad 24 reached the stairs, the rest of the expedition was already moving. Amandal, Mirrodin, and Idara led those in the rear up the stairs, while Amandal's conjurations trailed behind the sailors. Everyone was on the second floor when a ping echoed throughout the hall. The noise sounded as if it came from both behind and in front of the expedition.
What's that? Mirrodin asked. Amandal set his jaw and glanced about.
Floor-to-ceiling orange light shone from a narrow groove in the wall alongside the recessed pillar to his right. The line of light connected to another luminous line that ran along the ceiling to another lit groove on the opposite wall. Farther down the hall, 200 finials away at the next set of pillars, more of those orange lines shone along the walls and ceiling.
This doesn't bode well, a mercenary said.
Wary chatter filled the hall and Amandal spun. More orange lines ran along the pillars behind the expedition, connecting to lit lines running across the ceiling. From where he stood, the sets of lines looked like a series of squared archways stretching as far as he could see. The lines of light, however, darkened to a mix between orange and red.
Careful, that voice said.
Huh? Amandal blurted, drawing confused remarks from those around him. He glanced to the walls, noting his position in the hall. Amandal and the rest of Squad 24 were 20 paces ahead of the reddening lines behind them, but some of the conjurations were behind the line, particularly the troll and the smaller earthen elementals.
To me,
Amandal commanded, looking to the expedition's head. The middle squads were nearing the reddening lines ahead of Amandal, while the leaders were not quite to the next set. Two pings resounded through the hall, and the lit lines in the walls and ceiling shone a vibrant red. A hum resonated from all around, then a flash of white swept across the hall, along the red lines. Behind him, Amandal felt one of his earthen elementals struck by something massive. The bond with the conjuration abruptly ceased, and Amandal gasped. A roar of confusion erupted within the hall, and Amandal settled his wide-eyed gaze on a slab of white stone that now blocked the hallway ahead of him and half the expedition.
Felinia! He screamed.
Others also shouted for their comrades, their cries frantic. Heart pounding, Amandal staggered. Had they triggered another trap? Was that stone blocking the path, or had the others been crushed beneath it?
Turn around, that voice said.
Struggling to regain his composure, Amandal glanced over his shoulder. The conjuration he no longer sensed lay face down on the floor, its entire backside missing. It was as if something had cut the conjuration in half, from top to bottom. And that cut was the cleanest Amandal had ever seen.
How?
He muttered, staring in disbelief at the earthen husk. Had something similar happened to Felinia and the others? Ildan stared at the white stone barring the hallway ahead of him. Half of his squad had stepped past that line of light, including Nadra.
Is she dead?
And what about the others? Morjadayan, Dougal, Felinia? Those squad leaders still in the hall called for everyone to calm themselves. But how could they?
The others are probably dead, he thought, struggling to maintain his composure.
Taking a deep breath, Ildan turned around, searching the hall. Amandal's conjurations were in the rear, but Ildan couldn't see Amandal. Ildan pushed his way past the other squads, moving straight for the conjurations.
Amandal!
As Ildan neared the expedition's rear, he found the conjurer turned away from the others, staring at something brown on the floor. Ildan darted toward his friend.
What are you looking at?
He began. Then with a jolt, Ildan recognized an earthen conjuration cut in half.
But where was the other half?
Huh?
Amandal muttered, glancing to the ceiling.
Is he hearing something?
Amandal had mentioned hearing a voice while in the crystalline halls. Perhaps that voice was somehow connected to those strange dreams. But how was Amandal hearing voices? Amandal shook his head, sighing.
He turned, finally noticing Ildin. "Did you see that?" he asked, pointing to the maimed conjuration.
"Yes. What did that?"
Amandal shrugged and turned around, searching among the expedition. His face twisted in an utter sense of loss. Ildin grabbed his friend's shoulder, gripping it tightly.
"Maybe she's not dead. Maybe that slab is just a wall."
Amandal looked as unconvinced as Ildin felt. The wary commotion died down in the hall, and several of the squad leaders called for a council. At first glance, Ildin counted 10 complete squads plus the sailors. Not quite half. The leaders gathered near the stone wall blocking the hallway, while everyone else spread across the floor. 2/3 of the squads were made up of mercenaries. Only 5 of the scholars were present. Ildin was about to sit down on the floor when his eyes fell upon those strange, not quite oval doorways. The stones that had once barred them were gone.
"Look,"
he said, swatting Amandal's arm and pointing to one of the openings.
"Come on, let's go check that out."
Without waiting for a reply, Ildin hurried across the hall, weaving around those who were sitting. Several others had also noticed the unbarred doorway and were picking their way toward it. 4 soldiers had already stepped inside when Ildin reached the opening. Awestruck remarks reached Ildin's ears as he peered through the doorway. From what little he could see, the space beyond the door was 4 stories high and made of the same white stone as the hall. Throughout the space hung beige cylindrical crystals encased by golden framing, each barely taller than a man and with darkened silhouettes at their centers. The crystal cylinders lined every wall and were also arrayed in rows throughout the room, stacked on top of one another 4 times over. The soldiers approached the nearest of the cylinders, gasped, and then eyed one another in distress.
"Oh, no,"
a female soldier muttered, staggering backward.
"Someone find an Arpranist,"
another soldier cried. One of the soldiers darted from the cylinder and bolted to the door. Ildin reeled away as the man ran past him and into the hall, shouting to the squad leaders that someone was trapped.
"Someone trapped?"
Ildin wondered, turning back to the door. But only the 4 of them had entered the room. Confused, Ildin stepped inside, moving straight for the cylinder. As he neared the beige crystal, the darkened silhouette became clearer. Trapped within the crystal was an unclothed man with a frozen expression of horror smeared across his face. Ildin gasped.
"By all that's magical,"